As we come to God's Word this evening, we know our need of the Lord. The Lord has said, except He build the house, we labor in vain that build it. And so we look to the Lord for heavenly wisdom and grace to serve Him. Our Heavenly Father, we know that Thou hast put the gospel treasure in earthen vessels. And Lord, we do confess and acknowledge that at best we are an unprofitable servant, and we need Thee. We need Thy hand of wisdom, of blessing and power to be upon us. And we pray that Thou wilt be the preeminent one, that we will leave this service saying, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Oh, we pray that none will leave tramping underfoot the precious blood of the Lamb of God. May none despise the offer of gospel mercy. We pray that all will consider their latter end and be wise, choosing life and fleeing spiritual death. Hear us, Lord, and glorify Thyself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We will come to Psalm 106, please. And in verse 8, we read that the Lord saved them for His name's sake. He saved them for His name's sake. What a statement is made in the very first verse of God's Word. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. From this truth, it is abundantly clear that the entire universe, in all its parts, is neither uncaused, self-caused, or accidentally caused. Its every feature and facet is divinely caused. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the third verse, of the Lord we learn all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What was the original design and purpose in creation? Why did God make this world out of nothing in 6 days? Some in response will say, the world was made for man. But we need to bear in mind that the universe was created, brought into being before man. The divine purpose in creation is spelt out clearly in Revelation 4 and verse 11. Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Psalm 19 and verse 1 tells us that the firmament showeth His handiwork. It's all created, has all been created to the glory of God. And the same can be said of salvation. We listen to the song of the glorified saints in heaven. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. All the glory in heaven is given to the One who is worthy. For what purpose are we saved? The answer is the same as in creation. The Lord saves sinners for His own glory. We read here in verse 8, He saved them for His name's sake. God is glorified when a soul, a never-dying soul, is plucked as a brand out of the fire. God is glorified when sin is put away and the soul is saved from eternal destruction. As we look at God's salvation illustrated in Israel's history, may you be among those whom the Lord will save this evening for His name's sake. Now, in this text, we see, first of all, the source of salvation. The setting has all to do with the deliverance, the salvation of the people of Israel from Egypt. And what a striking type of God's salvation wrought out at Calvary. The text makes it clear, He, the Lord, saved them. God saved them from Pharaoh and from all the hosts of Egypt. In the work of the soul's salvation, the three persons of the Trinity all have a part. And we can say that God the Father planned it. Some only think of the wrath, the justice, and the retribution of God, and forget all about His infinite love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 spells it out. It sets it before us. 1 John 4 and verse 10. When John says, "Herein is love." Where is the greatest display of divine love? Here it is. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. The Father so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Speaking of the cross, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 affirms that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God laid the trespasses, the transgressions, the sins and the iniquities of all for whom Christ died. He laid it all in the account of the only begotten Son. The Bible makes it clear that it pleased the Father to bruise Him, to put Him to grief, to make His soul an offering for sin. Yes, God the Father planned it. But then we can further add that God the Son wrought it. How did this people Israel escape the bondage of Egypt? How were they saved from it? By the blood of the Passover lamb. Read the account in Exodus 12. The head of the house took the blood of the lamb, a choice lamb, a lamb without blemish, and he sprinkled that blood on the doorposts and on the lintel of his home. And where the blood was applied, all under it were delivered, were saved. The shed blood was the salvation of the people. and it still is. All of that in Exodus chapter 12 on the Passover night, wonderful foreshadowing of the place called Calvary. Christ is our Passover lamb, Paul says, sacrificed for us. By Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, the precious blood was shed when he fulfilled God's holy word and suffered in our stead. Yes, salvation, God the Father planned it, and God the Son wrought it. But we can say again that the Holy Spirit applies it, regenerating the soul. We remember the words of John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. As the Trinity was involved in the work of creation, so in the work of the new creation, in the work of salvation. No wonder the Bible refers to it as the glorious gospel, as so great salvation. Here is its source, men and women. It is all of God. But you say, did Moses not save his people? Was Moses not his people's deliverer? Didn't he stretch out the rod over the sea? Oh, he was just the instrument that God used in bringing about his people's deliverance. He was only the instrument. Sometimes people say, I was saved, mentioning the name of the preacher, I was saved by such and such a one. I'm one of his converts. Oh, the reality is that no preacher, no matter how gifted, how eloquent he may be, can save your soul. The preacher is only a messenger. He is only an earthen vessel. Salvation is all of God. But you say, did Israel not save themselves? They were a strong, a special, a mighty people. Self-salvation. Where do we read of it in God's word? Well, we do read that Cain attempted such a thing. He brought a work of his own hands, of the fruit of the ground, and he brought it as an offering to God. But it was unacceptable. He went out from the presence of the Lord, a condemned man. His works did not bring him nigh to God. Jude verse 11 pronounces woe on those who go in the way of Cain. Are you walking in Cain's footsteps? Are you in his shoes? Working? Attempting to work your way to heaven? Oh, learn this great truth, that salvation, its source, is all divine. It's of God. The triune God has planned it, wrought it, and applies it to all who repent and who believe in Jesus Christ. But then, secondly, we see here the subjects of salvation, he saved them. And what do we know about these people? Surely they were the most upright, the most pious, the most deserving of all. Far from it. Look with me at their dullness in verse 7. The writer of the psalm has to say, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They thought those plagues of Egypt were only to bring about their deliverance. More than that, those plagues demonstrated the Lord's greatness above all gods. But their minds were dull to these things. They understood not the Lord's wonders in Egypt. And you say, I'm a bit like that. I find spiritual truths difficult and hard to grasp. I haven't grasped all that I need to know about salvation. What you need to know, first of all, is, as we read in verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly in the sight of a thrice holy God. There is none without sin. We have all sinned and fallen short of the divine glory. And you need to comprehend that reality and the reality that Christ died on the cross for the ungodly. The Lord has this to state in Matthew 11 and verse 25. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things. What things? The things of the gospel, the things that belong to our peace. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. The things of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, even a child can understand. We have to become as a little child in order to be converted. The Bible tells us that. It's a childlike trust that saves the soul. A child can cling. It can cry. It can trust. These things, the gospel things, the things that belong to our peace, are revealed unto babes, unto children. Oh, do not stumble over the simplicity that is in Christ. So we see their dullness. We also must look at their forgetfulness. In verse 7, they remembered not the multitude of the Lord's mercies. The verse 13 says, they soon forgot his works. This people, God intervened time and time again in their ways. We know that they were fed with angels' food, with manna from heaven. God wrought for them mighty miracles, brought them through the Red Sea, but they forgot the multitude of his mercies. They were totally ungrateful. Is there a reflection of yourself here? God has given you of His common grace, daily bread, strength, breath. You're the recipient of a multitude of mercies, but you ignore, you forget all of them. Even the dumb beast is not so inclined. We read of the ox in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Oh, the dumb beast recognizes the hand that feeds it. But you have never on bended knee thanked God for His unspeakable gift. You never consider what has been wrought for your eternal well-being on the cross. You're forgetful of all the tender mercies of the Most High. These people, we see their dullness and their forgetfulness, but look furthermore at their rebelliousness. They provoked Him, verse 7, at the Red Sea. At the first sign of danger, as soon as they heard the rumble of Pharaoh's chariots, they were raised in rebellion. In the words of Exodus chapter 14 and verse 11, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? What bitter words. What provocation. Is your heart in a state of rebellion too? Often the Lord has spoken. The Spirit of God has striven with you. You have gone on kicking against the pricks of the gospel. You look on Christ as one not to be esteemed or desired. His salvation has been rejected by you to this moment. The Lord's thoughts are not as man's thoughts. On a human level, very often at the first offense, the offender meets with an instant retribution. No questions asked. But you have not been consumed. Despite your dullness, forgetfulness, and rebelliousness, the Lord is merciful and gracious with you. And these are the people that the Lord saved. He saves the undeserving, the hell-deserving sinner like you and me. You can become the subject of salvation now. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then lastly, we see the secret of salvation. He saved them for His name's sake. How can we account for God bringing deliverance to such an unworthy people? Here's the secret: for His name's sake. Maybe you reckon you will get to heaven on account of your goodness, your morality. That's a groundless hope. The Bible teaches us that the Lord came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He saves sinners for his name's sake. A name, it speaks of the person that bears it. When you hear the name of a particular individual, you think of the character, the personality, the standing of the one concerned. And when you hear of the Lord's name, it speaks of his attributes, of all that he is. This is borne out in Exodus chapter 34 and verses 5 to 7. Exodus 34, verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Oh, the name of the Lord brings before us his attributes, his mercy, grace, goodness, truth, and justice. What a matchless name. Consider the sacredness of it. In Psalm 111, and the verse 9, we learn holy and reverent is his name. We think of how the model prayer has the phrase, hallowed be thy name. To hallow means to sanctify. It means to set apart, to set it above every other name. We read of the failure of Israel, God's people, to do this very thing. We read sad words in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 20. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When the people of God went among the heathen, they profaned, the Lord says, my holy name. It was just the opposite to what they should have been doing. The Christian is not by loose living, by questionable ways, to bring the Lord's name into disrepute. David, by his adultery and murder, he did this very thing. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and the verse 14. Howbeit, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. David, by what he did, he gave the enemies of the Lord cause to profane his name. The original is stronger. He greatly blasphemed Jehovah by his sin. Oh, may we live to make much of the Lord's name, to exalt his name. And the salvation of your soul, that will glorify his name. Oh, how Christ is magnified when the lost are brought to see and to taste that he is good. The sacredness of his name. But then think of the sufficiency of his name. Whatever your need is in this service this evening, there is a boundless sufficiency in Christ to meet it. Think of his name, Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord who provides. And Paul rested on this name. He could say in Philippians 4 and verse 19, Philippians 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Lord supplied all of Saul of Tarsus, all of his needs on the Damascus road, so much so that he could say later, "I am complete in him." Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Oh, he can provide for you tonight in this meeting, meet you at the point of your need. Then his name is Jehovah Shammah, meaning the Lord is there, and his presence is around and about those that fear him. He's nearer to his blood-bought people than hands or feet. And Psalm 145 and verse 18 tells us that the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. The psalmist giving his testimony, he said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Will you call on him this evening? He's at hand. He's passing this way. He is Jehovah, said Kenyu. He's the Lord, our righteousness. Adam's fall left you and I unrighteous, unjust. But the Lord will be merciful to your unrighteousness. You can have the righteousness of God put in your account through saving faith in Christ. And we think too of the salvation of his name. Peter, in Acts 4 and verse 12, makes it ever so plain, crystal clear, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This name is the door to heaven. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given. It scatters all their guilty fear, it turns their hell to heaven. The Lord will save you for his name's sake. He will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. Oh, may you come to him. May you tonight seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. May there be none that will harden their heart in this meeting and say away with him, "Oh, may you come by the way of the cross. It's the way of the cross that leads to eternal home." Let us bow together as we pray. And as we're bowed in the Lord's presence, needy soul, do make that need known. And we would love to open up the Word of God with you and show you the simplicity that is in Christ. Do feel free to make that need known. Do not leave this service as you came, without hope, without God in this world. Our loving Father, how we praise thee that thou hast devised the means to bring us to God. We thank thee for the work, the finished work, the work that is complete of Calvary's cross, and none can perish there. We know that at the cross, the dying thief cried out, "Lord, remember me. Lord, save me." And thou didst save him. Thou didst say, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise in heaven." Oh, we ask that thou wilt bless thy word and apply it to the heart and the conscience, and glorify thyself. Save for thy name's sake. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.